Big changes are coming for the state's CBD stores. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and listeners like you.
Coming up, a veterans group gives back to the community during the holiday season.
It's important for the children to have something to go home and play with and be happy with Christmas, to keep the faith of Christmas.
But first, when Congress voted to end the government shutdown this fall, it also passed a measure that will bar the sale of many consumable hemp products by next December. CBD shop owners in Kansas say the change could wipe out their industry. Daniel Caudill visited one store in Winfield that says it will close next year if nothing changes.
Bloomer Botanicals in Winfield prides itself on having the largest CBD selection in all of Cowley County.
We have lotion, we have CBD gummies.
75-year-old Sharon Gordon owns the shop. She has a dedicated team of two other women who work part-time.
You know, frankly, I should be retired.
Sharon's products have some things in common with cannabis you could buy at a dispensary in Missouri or Colorado. For starters, there's that distinct smell. Both products also might help with appetite, sleep, or pain. The key difference that makes her products legal in Kansas is a very low amount of THC, the psychoactive compound in cannabis. Some items still have some form of a high, while many others do not, especially CBD. But by this time next year, a change in federal law means most of the products at Bloomer Botanicals will become illegal again.
Oh yeah, I'd have to close. Because just CBD alone, I don't have enough customers looking for just CBD alone.
Sharon opened her shop in 2018, shortly after Congress legalized many consumable products derived from hemp across the U.S. But about 10 years before that, she had her own experience using cannabis to treat symptoms of bladder cancer and kidney disease. She credits the drug and the alternatives she takes now for keeping her off dialysis.
At the time, my urologist doctor had told me that I would probably be in kidney failure within 2 years.
That experience informs her approach at Bloomer Botanicals. Sharon and her employees are certified through a program on understanding the products and finding the best one for each customer's unique situation. Sharon says she doesn't make much off the business, but
I felt like these products need to be accessible.
She says that's especially true in Kansas, one of the last holdover states without legal medical or recreational cannabis. That's despite the fact that recent studies repeatedly show a majority of Kansans support legalizing it. So why is Kansas still holding out? Conservative leaders in Topeka have refused to take up the issue. Those who oppose efforts to legalize cannabis say they don't want to get ahead of the federal government. Some also say more research needs to be done on the potential risks of cannabis. Kelly Ripple with Kansans for Hemp says the real danger comes from buying on the black market.
When there is no legal way for people to access products that we know are safe and tested and all of that, then it just increases risk.
Kansas also lacks statewide ballot measures, which let people vote directly on a proposed law. Many states with legal cannabis, like Missouri and Oklahoma, went that route to skirt their more conservative state lawmakers. For The Range, I'm Daniel Caudill.
The American Legion Arthur Gossett Post 273 will host its annual toy giveaway on Sunday. The post is near 13th and Hydraulic, and it collects and distributes items from the Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. This year, fewer toys were donated, but the post still plans to help more families in need than a year ago. For this edition of In the Mix, Carla Eccles reports.
John Citron, Sons of the American Legion Squadron Commander 273, opens storage door revealing toys.
Well, this is where we keep our toys in the storage unit. So far, we got a few toys here. Construction tractors, construction trucks, dancing dinos, toy dinosaurs, play and learn. These are learning games, educational for the children. We got remote control cars, pop-up books,
flashlight set.
It looks like unicorns, John, down here. Look like little stuffed animals.
We got two clear bags full of stuffed animals, including teddy bears and unique animals like penguins and some pink teddy bears, maybe a few horses in there.
All stuffed animals for kids to enjoy.
Yes, ma'am, especially the little ones. They can pick whatever they want. If somebody has two kids, they can get two toys apiece. That's four toys going out the door. We get these toys every year because it's important for the children to have something to go home and play with and be happy with Christmas. They keep the faith of Christmas.
So how many toys do you estimate are in here?
Guesstimated right now, I'm going to guesstimate at least 200 or maybe a little more. But I'm waiting for more toys to come in, so.
So how many do you expect to have on December 21st?
Well, last year we had about 500 kids, 500 families. We're expecting probably that, the same amount or a little more.
And how many toys did you have?
1,200, exactly.
Is this typically what you receive as far as the boxes, the number of boxes?
Normally, we usually get more. We're just kind of a little short this year, but we keep faith on it. We're going to keep digging for toys. My organization is working on getting more into the storage unit for the toy giveaway.
What do families have to do to get the toys?
Not much. It's different compared to the other organizations. No proof of income required. Just bring the parent or legal guardian to show up with them. And then we give them like a little wristband or a ticket where they can come in and pick up, select their toys.
What makes this particular post unique?
What makes it unique? Well, the area it's in. It's unique because there's a lot of people that don't know where to go on certain things. They come to here for a drink or they come here for some food and they do serve food here. Some people have, it's walking distance. Some people are like, oh, that's for our community. And this is what we do. We serve our community. It's in a very tough area, but it's a very good area. And they rely on this post for many things, not just serving veterans and families, but the community, it relies on it. That's one of the most important things. The community needs us, and we sure as heck need them. And I know that for a fact.
And one last thing. Voters in Wichita will weigh in on a 1% sales tax in March. It's expected to generate more than $800 million for things like public safety, affordable housing, and a new performing arts center. Asking the public to tax themselves is always a tough sell. And the fact that the city council will decide which projects to fund makes it tougher. None of the current council members were in office when the city launched Waterwalk, or when it built the baseball stadium, or the new water plant. But all of them have had issues. And now there's a credibility gap, deserved or not, on whether the city can successfully manage large projects. The best thing for people to do is read up on the tax proposal, ask questions, and be an informed voter come March. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Goulet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.